We'll begin in verse number 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Now let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I pray that you bless to our hearts tonight. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of being able to gather together. Lord, some weren't able to come in tonight due to the roads, and I pray that you would bless them as they watch on the live stream, that there wouldn't be any distractions, and that you just allow them to be able to pay attention and get a blessing from your word tonight. And Father, I pray that you would, again, watch over those that were able to come tonight, that you keep us safe as we head home, that you keep the roads clear and not slick, Father, and just keep us safe. And we thank you, Father, for the safety you have given to us. We thank you, Father, for the health that you've given to us over this past year. And Lord, I do thank you just for your blessings in our life. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have been amazed, praising the Lord, for how healthy our church has been this year. I've just been tonight at Lehigh Valley. They're having a funeral for their service. I'm not sure the circumstances with the death. Another church I was listening to this past week, it just seems like everyone in their church had COVID, and some of them were still out and still in quarantine. So I'm very thankful for the health that God has blessed us with and the safety he has given to us this year. This evening we're going to look at, we'll be looking in 1 Corinthians 16 at a passage of Scripture, but just a reminder tonight of our vision for this year, of really coming out of verse number 6 and 7, with the question that the householder makes at the end of verse number 6, Why stand ye here all the day idle? These are those that it's in the 11th hour, 5 o'clock at night. The work day is about over, and they're still standing around doing nothing. And so he hires them and tells them in verse number 7, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And how important it is for us to understand, we are living in the 11th hour. Whatever the current generation is, that is the 11th hour. In Paul's time, he was living in the 11th hour. In Jesus' time, they're living in the 11th hour. And we are in the 11th hour. And we don't have a right to stand around all the day idle. God has called us to work for him. God has called us into the harvest. In Matthew 9, verse 37, it says, The harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we need to be praying. That needs to be our prayer, that God will send forth laborers into his harvest, and that we will be in the harvest, that we will get involved because the harvest truly is plenteous. We can't make excuses. In John 4, Jesus' disciples there outside of Samaria, they had excuses. And he said in verse number 35, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So we need to see these passages of Scripture, believe them, be encouraged by them, and get involved in the harvest. The Lord of the harvest wants all of us in the fields. He wants us involved in the vineyard. He wants us in the work. And a personal work for Christ is the way that the world is one for Christ. and voluntary personal work where we want to be a part of what God is doing. And a few years back in 2017, I believe it was in the summer of 2017, Brother Doug Hammett was out in the Washington area, and he was stopped by Wenatchee. We were sitting down talking about evangelism and different things, and he brought up an illustration that I've really enjoyed. It's helped me, and I was just reminded about it again this past week. He called it, in witnessing, he called it the GPS factor. Think about a GPS. If you call someone up and try and get directions somewhere, maybe someone coming in to visit you from out of town, and they call you up and say, can't find your place. What's the first question you ask them? Where are you? Okay, you need to know where they're at. It'd be silly to give someone directions, you know, to the church as if they're down at Six Flags when they're actually up in, you know, East St. Louis. So you need to know where the person's at. You need to know where they're going, and then the waypoints along the way, what exits to get off from, what roads, what intersections to turn at. Those are the things you need to know. There's a lot of things along the way that you don't need to know about. If someone's trying to come here to the church and they're driving along 100, we don't need to tell them about sightseeing places along 100 between, you know, St. Clair and Wildwood. We don't need to tell them about special places to pull off the road and see things. They need to know where to turn. They need to know what roads to be on. And when we're working with the lost, it's important that we understand where they are spiritually, where they're at. And we know where they need to be. They need to come to Christ for salvation. And so what between where they're at and where they need to be, what is it that they need to know? And so it's very important for us to grow in our understanding of the Word of God and be able to share with men, with women, with families, the steps that they need in order to get to where they need to be. And in 1 Corinthians 16, in verse number 15, we see an example of a particular family. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We had mentioned earlier in the year, at the end of last year, different ways of being able to minister. And one of the things that we wanted to focus on is just what I call a household ministry, of using the influence that you have on your friends and your family, coworkers, whether it's opening up your home, having them in your home. But when you consider the household of Stephanas here, it wasn't just Stephanas, but it was the house of Stephanas. It was all the members. All of them had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They had purposed to be able to be used by God. And usually when we think about addicted, we think of it in the passive sense. You know, someone's addicted to drugs, they're addicted to this, they're addicted to that. We think of it more of passive, but this is active. This is they addicted themselves. This is in the active voice, is not passive. This word addicted means that they devoted themselves to a certain pursuit. They settled in their mind, they decided on a course of action, they appointed themselves to apply themselves to a particular action. And it means to apply oneself habitually, to devote time and attention by customary or constant practice. That's what the word to addict means. If you're going to addict yourself, you are applying yourself habitually to something. You're devoting your time and attention by customary or constant practice. If you're going to addict yourself to painting, anyone in here paint? Like not painting walls, but like painting canvas. Anyone in here paint? No one paints. Ayla paints. She was painting her wall. Painting some flowers on her walls. If someone was going to addict themselves to painting, it's not going to be a casual hobby. They're going to pull out a canvas every 4 or 5 years and see if they can still draw a flower on it or draw a house on it. If they're going to addict themselves to painting, they're going to have a time every single day where they're going to be painting. They're going to be practicing. They're going to be practicing how to blend colors or draw straight lines or whatever it is that they're trying to represent. They're going to practice doing that. They're going to have a habit, and it's going to be a purpose. They're going to apply themselves to doing that. All of us do that. We all appoint ourselves. We all set a course of action in our life. If we want to learn something, we truly want to learn it. We truly have a desire to do something. We purposely appoint a time in order to get better at that. All of us. And they addicted themselves. They devoted themselves. They appointed themselves to the ministry of the saints. And this word ministry of the saints, it's the service which saints, which God's people do, which characterizes them. Not only does it mean ministering to the saints, but it's the ministry of the saints. It's what, when you think of what saints do, that's what they addicted themselves to do. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, which certainly does include ministering to the saints, but includes a lot more than just that. This ministry here is not the activity of a lesser to a greater, a slave to a master, a weakling to someone that's making them do something. Okay, sometimes when we think about ministry, service, that's the idea. This word ministry here is really something complete, not in the culture of Paul's day. Within the Greek culture, this idea of ministry was not in their vocabulary. It was not something that they would do. This word ministry means the rendering of assistance or help by performing certain duties, often of a humble or menial nature, activities without proper dignity. That was kind of the idea behind it. It always has to do with humble, submissive, personal service, practical service. Practical service. The Greeks regarded this particular word, it was the same word we get our word deacon from. The Greeks regarded that kind of service as degrading, as dishonorable. The thought of voluntarily doing something for someone else was completely alien. Now, they would do things like that for a purpose. If I do this, if I can do this and everyone's going to think I'm wonderful, then they'll do that. Because the purpose is to get honor. That's why they're doing it. They're not doing it to serve the person. They could care less about the person. They're doing it for the honor. If there's honor, if there's money involved, if there's esteem involved, the Greeks would do it, but that was because that's what they were doing it for. This kind of ministry, though, that we're to be doing has nothing to do with honor. It's a humble service towards others. So this service was not very dignified in the eyes of the Greeks, but it is very dignified in the eyes of the Lord. It is what he did. And we consider this household of Stephanus, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And we'll look at three different aspects that we see in Scripture, see in the New Testament. There's probably more than this, but we'll just look at three tonight. Three aspects of household ministry. One of them is edification, which means to build up spiritually, to improve and progress the mind in faith and holiness. We'll see some examples of that. One is entertainment, which means biblically to receive into the house and treat with hospitality. We see it in Hebrews 13, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. In Romans 12, verse 13, describes about that we're to be distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. So opening up our home to treat, inviting people into our home to treat with hospitality. And Peter tells us that we're to use hospitality one to another without grudging. There's a lot of people that use hospitality, but there's a lot of grudging, either beforehand or afterwards. And what a sad thing when kids see that. What a sad thing, parents, before you're showing hospitality. There's a lot of grudging beforehand, but during it, it's all smiles and happiness and everything's wonderful. Then after the guests leave, here comes the grudging again. What a horrible testimony that is to our children. They ought to see that we love using hospitality one towards another. So that's another aspect of household ministry is entertainment, and the third one is evangelism. All three of these, we see many examples of households doing these things. So number one, does your household habitually apply itself, devote time and attention by customary or constant practice to the ministry of the saints as it pertains to edification? As it pertains to edification. Some examples of this. A lot of examples look at, but just consider the scriptures that talk about couples, a husband, a wife, and it describes the church which is in their house. The church which is in their house. We have an example in Philemon 1 verse 2. Paul says to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Now was Philemon the pastor? Possibly. But he opened up his house to have the church gather there. Why did the church gather there? Well, that was their meeting place. That was where they assembled. That's where they would be edified. So they were willing to open up their house to have the church meet there. Aquila and Priscilla, the same thing is described about them in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. It says, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And we see an example of their ministry in Acts 18 with Apollos. We're told in Acts 18, verses 24 through 26 that about Apollos. He was born in Alexandria. That he was a very eloquent man, and he was mighty in the scriptures. When he came to Ephesus, he preached, he taught. He was fervent in what he was doing. He was excited about what God was doing in his life and excited for what God could do with the Ephesians. And the Bible says in verse number 25 that this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So there are some things that were missing. We don't know the whole history about Apollos, but it would seem that maybe he was instructed by disciples of John the Baptist that never, whether by separation, maybe they had moved away, never heard that the Messiah had come, never maybe become followers of Christ, but they had a knowledge of the truth, and maybe he was a disciple of them. So there were some things that was missing in his life. And it says in verse 26 that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So they're willing to open up their house and bring this man in there to be able to teach him and edify him in the Word of God. And that's important. Acts 5 verse 42 says that daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to preach or to teach daily in the temple, but also in every house. So here you have households that were willing to open up their house for edification, to be able to build up the saints and teach them. And we have cottage prayer meetings. Many times people have cottage prayer meetings. We ought to have cottage Bible studies. different families in different areas. Open up your house to a Bible study. Invite other church families that live in your area. Hey, come on over on Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night. We'll have some popcorn and we'll just study the Bible together. Have a cottage Bible study. It's an opportunity, increased opportunities for fellowship. It's a good opportunity for bringing others into a non-threatening environment. Maybe other even believers that just need to be grounded and just to have them meet church members. Again, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, it's not trying to trick them, but just, hey, we're having some folks over to our house. We're going to have a Bible study. Would you like to come? informal, you know, bring your slippers if you want. Just make it informal, but just an enjoyable time around God's Word. Households need to be doing that. We ought to have families that have a desire to apply itself to devote time and attention by customary and constant practice to the ministry of the saints as it relates to edification. Secondly, does your household habitually apply itself, devote time and attention by customary or constant practice to the ministry of the saints as it pertains to entertainment? Now, don't take entertainment there in the concept of today's idea, but of using hospitality. Turn over to Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. We have many examples in the scriptures of families, households that open up their house just to show hospitality. We don't see necessarily that they did it specifically to preach the gospel, although we see some that did happen. So some of these passages we'll look at in two different points. But in Luke 19, we have the story of Zacchaeus, starting in verse number 4. Says he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Received him joyfully, what does that mean? He received him into his house. He opened up his house and received Jesus. Now, who else was with Jesus usually? His apostles. And who else? Usually crowds as well were following him around. But he received him joyfully. Verse number 7, and when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus was willing to open up his house and receive Christ joyfully. And again, with Christ, probably the disciples and probably other crowds as well. In Acts 16, we have Lydia. And when she was, after her salvation, it says in verse number 15 that when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. What was she doing? She was just providing hospitality. She was providing a place for them to stay. She was providing meals. That was her desire. And she did that. It would seem to be almost a probably became a habit with her in her life. But she opened up her house. She was willing to have people come into her house. In Acts 21, we had Philip. In 21, verse number 8, it says, the next day they that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. Who was that? Paul's company. Who was in Paul's company? Well, Paul and Luke. Luke was writing at this time. Who else? A lot of people. we don't know all the different team members that were with him at this particular time, but there are probably three or four other men that were with Paul. And they entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, and they abode with him. He opened up his house. He was willing to show hospitality. What a blessing it is, I know, for many of the missionaries that come through when they're able to stay at people's homes or go over to people's homes for a meal. And what a blessing that is. How that encourages them. How do I know it encourages them? Because they say so. Because they'll say, well, what a blessing that was. And boy, thank you for, you know, letting us go over there. Or boy, thanks for having us stay there. It was such a blessing to get to know them. And they go on and on and on. A simple thing is opening up your home. Now, did Philip, did they have a Bible study? Probably. Probably you have Philip the evangelist, you have Paul, you have Paul's company. They probably had some good doctrinal discussions. But that's not the point. They went in and abode with him. They stayed there. Does your household habitually apply itself, devote time and energy and by constant practice to the ministry of the saints as it pertains to entertainment? And then number three, does your household habitually apply itself, devote time and attention by customary or constant practice to the ministry of the saints as it pertains to evangelism? We spent some extended time in Acts 10, just recently looking at the household of Cornelius. We see Cornelius, he was a lost man, but he was the one that feared God, and he opened up his house, but it was for evangelism. He had called, it says he, in Acts 10, verse 24, that Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Why did he call them together? Because he had sent for Peter to come to tell them all things that God would have them to know. He knew why they were coming. In verse number 33, he says, "Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." He opened up his home for evangelism. He wanted to see himself. He wanted to know what God wanted, but his kinsmen and near friends, he invited them specifically to hear the things from God. He opened up his house for evangelism. Levi, in Luke chapter 5, when Christ called him to be an apostle, called him to be one of his disciples, to follow him. In Luke 5, verse number 27, it says, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house." So there we see hospitality. He's entertaining him, made this great feast in his own house. But who else was there? "And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them." He had others of his own business. It was his co-workers. Other publicans were also there with him. Why were they there? Why were they invited? I believe because Levi wanted them to know Christ. Verse number 30, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So Levi had these publicans and sinners, those that were sick. Why were they there? Because the physician was there. Why did he make a great feast? Yes, to entertain them, to show hospitality to Christ and the others, but I believe one of the reasons he did that was because of his friends. Because of if they called themselves friends, who knows in that business if they probably the other publicans were probably the only people that would call themselves friends with one another. But he had them there to meet Christ. To meet Christ. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16, after his salvation, in verse number 34, says that he brought them into his house and he set meat before them. So he was, again, entertaining them, showing hospitality. But it says that he also rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, how did all of his household believe in God? They weren't in the jail with him. How his whole household believe in God? Because he had Paul and Silas there. What did Paul and Silas do? We don't know. Except that they gave a gospel message so that his whole household could believe. Why did he bring them into his house? I don't think it was just because he was feeling guilty. I don't think it was just because he was feeling bad. He brought them into his house because he understood his wife, his children, his servants, they needed to hear this message that Paul and Silas we're singing about and preaching about in the jail. We have all these examples in the scriptures of God's people using their home in these various ways. If you turn back to Acts 16, I'm sorry, not Acts 16, 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. If we finish the sentence, verse 15 and 16 is one sentence. He says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church. Now, not all the Corinthians were like Stephanas. We're not like his household. He praised many different households there at Corinth, but there was also a lot of problems there at Corinth. But he was encouraging them. He says, "You know about the household of Stephanas. You know how they have addicted themselves. They've purposely made a choice in their life to habitually minister to the saints, open up their homes to habitually do this. They've made it a habit in their life." He says, "You know them." He says, "Submit yourselves unto such." That word "submit yourselves" means we looked at this on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour, to put ourselves underneath someone else, purposely, voluntarily, aligning ourselves underneath someone else. And what a blessing it is when, you know, not everyone maybe can have someone in their home. Maybe for various reasons you can't do that. Well, help others that are doing it. Be a blessing to others that are doing that. Say, listen, hey, you're having a Bible study. I'll come over and help fill a seat. I'll come over and be there. What can I bring? Can I bring something? Oh, you're entertaining someone. Hey, can I come? invite yourself over, but not just to enjoy some food, but say, hey, listen, I want to help do that. Hey, let me bring salad and dessert. Let me do that. I would love to be able to minister to them. I would love to be able to help you entertain them. We can't have it at our house, but you're having it, and boy, can I help? Can I do something? Submit yourselves to them. You can't do it yourself. Help someone else. That you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Paul is saying, not only you submit yourselves to them, he says, these people, they're helping us. When God's people are open up their homes and they're striving to be evangelism, whether it's in entertainment, whether it's in edification, but what a blessing and a help that is to the pastors, to the preacher. Now, Paul was not the pastor at Corinth. He was the church planner. The church was established here. But what a blessing it was to Paul. And said that Paul was saying that they're helping us. They help us. So submit yourselves to them. And if you can't yourself have someone over your house for a Bible study, well, help someone else that can. Or encourage someone else who can do it, but maybe they're kind of backwards about it. Say, hey, listen, let's have a Bible study at your house. Let's study this together, and how about we invite some others over and help someone, encourage someone else in doing that. Sometimes people don't really want to take that step. Hey, help them take that step. Encourage them to take that step. Invite yourself over for a Bible study. Invite yourself over to help entertain, to help encourage, to help evangelize. But be a part of the work. Be a part of the harvest. Thinking back to Matthew 20, why stand ye here all the day idle? Go ye also into the vineyard. Get involved. Be involved in the harvest. Amen. There's so many opportunities, so many different ways. There's so many different unique people here. You have unique gifts that God's given to you, unique ways of dealing with people, helping people, encouraging others. Use what God's given you, but be involved in the harvest. Amen. Amen. We'll close with that. I really want to encourage you just to consider these thoughts tonight and ask yourself, God, maybe you enjoy doing those, but maybe you haven't actually committed yourself. Maybe it couldn't be said of you that you've addicted yourself, your household has addicted themselves to this. But that's maybe the point of, you know what, we just need to choose to do this. We need to just determine that this is the thing that we're going to do. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen all the time, but just determine, hey, this is a path that we're going to go down. We are going to use our home for God's glory, or we're going to help others do it in their home. We're going to be a part of edifying the believers, showing hospitality or evangelism. Let's be a part of that. As a household, determine that. Appoint yourselves to that. Addict yourselves to that. That's active. You've got to make that choice. It's voluntary. You have to do that yourself. Paul did not say, I addicted them. I did it. I made them do this. No, they did it. It was their choice. It was voluntary. They actively purposed. Amen. Let's all stand together this evening and we will...